Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. This is Resistance and Reformation on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Ilir Belloc once declared that every man ought to read Rasselas, and every wise man will read it half a dozen times in his life. Indeed, a man would do well to read it once a year at least, for never was wisdom better put or more enduringly. Rasselas was a morality tale written in 1759 by the great Samuel Johnson. He dashed it out during the evenings of a single week in order to raise the necessary funds to pay for his mother's funeral. In some ways, it was a book that could have only been composed under the duress of grief and privation, but its message had also been developing throughout his long experience of reading, writing, and researching. Indeed, it served as a kind of summation of all that Johnson had come to stand for as a thinker, critic, and esteemed member of the Tory literati. He was one of the most influential English writers of the 18th century. Samuel Johnson ranks right up with William Shakespeare and G.K. Chesterton among the most quoted prose stylists in the English language. Indeed, it has long been traditional to refer to the second half of the 18th century as the Age of Johnson. Interestingly, though, he is usually remembered not so much as a writer, but as a conversationalist and as a personality, mostly due to the brilliant account of his life written by his friend, companion, and ne'er-do-well, James Boswell, in 1791. For a long time, thanks largely to a glowing critical review by Thomas Macaulay in 1831, Boswell's biography actually eclipsed Johnson's own writings. In fact, many of the most memorable lines in the quotation dictionaries and anthologies come not from Johnson's works, but from his biographer's recollections of his conversation. Boswell was able to put Johnson in a very small club whose members include authors like Socrates, Chatterton, and Proust, whose most famous works were written by someone else. More's the pity, for Johnson's writing outshines even the most sparkling prose of Boswell. He became prolific and adept at virtually every genre, from criticism and poetry to biography and theater. His work was uniformly brilliant. Johnson's introductions to the plays of Shakespeare were largely responsible for raising widespread awareness of the genius of the heretofore largely neglected bard. His essays in his journal, The Rambler, set the standard for literary and cultural criticism. When he was nearly 50, he was commissioned to produce the first comprehensive English dictionary, and over the course of the next 7 years, he single-handedly took on the task of documenting the whole range of English usage, which, when completed, set the standard for etymology ever afterward. The work was indeed stunning. Each word was not only carefully defined, but illustrated with examples from classic or poetic literature. And then there was Rasselas. The central thesis of the story is simply that happiness in this poor fallen world may not be found in our circumstances. And thus, it was a stern rebuke to the brazen materialism of emerging modernity. The tale begins in the bosom of a paradise, From there, it wanders through a vast landscape of privilege and prosperity. The characters discover that having everything, being protected from every worldly woe, and blithely enjoying all the things that most men can only yearn for is hardly a prescription for contentment. The story has been described by some critics as a string of apothegms in a vacuo. In other words, it's been accused of being little more than a loosely structured narrative contrived to showcase a series of observations about human nature, where the characters are stiff symbols, plot lines are mere excuses for the sundry discourses, and long philosophical discussions are imposed upon the dialogue with little concern for literary integrity. And in some ways, this observation may be true, but it hardly detracts from the brilliance of the work. Johnson was quite cognizant of the structural purposes of the work. It was never intended to be a romance or a thriller. It is a novel of ideas. Rasselas is filled with all the epistemological, eschatological, and belletristic speculations one might expect from a man who spent every waking moment in the company of the great classics of Western Christendom, pondering the etymology of words and the difficulties of life in the modern world. The work is erudite, provocative, wide-ranging, and deeply satisfying. It simultaneously affords readers a perspective of the roots of antiquity while critiquing the impulse to modernity, and all from a distinctly Christian worldview. It realizes in a single narrative quest the essential questions of both the Western philosophical tradition and the English literary tradition. At the same time, it's just a great story. It's a page-turning read, and that is quite a feat. Johnson's whole life was a model of resistance and reformation, but Rasselas is the quintessence of his worldview and the pinnacle of his creativity. I'm George Grant, on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. For more information and for resources, go to georgegrant.net or adoringgod.org.